grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you had to pick one word to summarize the entire Christian faith, what one word would you pick? For our three confirmants, you've been in classes with me for the last 3 years. How would you sum up 3 years of classes in just one word? Maybe we think of the word to believe, to trust in Jesus for salvation. And indeed, that is the most important part of the Christian faith, because if you believe in Jesus, well, you have life, you have salvation, you have heaven itself. And if you don't believe, well, sadly, you don't. But is that it to the Christian faith? To just believe and nothing else? What about the life of a Christian, that which comes after believing in Jesus? Maybe this one word will do the trick. The word obey, to uphold everything God has said in His Word. We know that there are many instructions that God gives to us about how we are to live as His children. But if Christianity is ultimately just about obedience, well, couldn't anyone do it then? Do you have to know who Jesus is? Do you have to trust in Him for His salvation? Because if you just keep the commands, well, you got it, right? Clearly, the word obey does not cut it. What about this word? The word love. In many ways, love is the sum of both believe and obey. In order to fully know just how Jesus loves us and all that God has done, we need to believe in Him, to know what He has done, and to believe in His death on the cross that we may receive the full blessings of what He has done. And that love that He has shown for us, it shows itself in our love to others as we obey all those commands that God has given us. The word love in many ways summarizes at least the chief teachings, the essentials of the Christian faith. It's also at the basis of what we're looking at this morning from the Gospel of John, where Jesus plainly tells us to love one another. We love one another as Jesus loves us, as we see there on the cross and what comes because of it. And with His love in our hearts, we then love one another as His friends, who thankfully and willfully do what friends naturally do. And while for many of us this is a good review of the Christian faith, how timely it is for our three confirmants. As you prepare to step into a new phase of your life as Christians and to put all that knowledge together into one unifying principle, that of love. Love for one another because of Jesus and that love shown to others. We look to Jesus to understand what this idea of love is truly all about. In these verses in particular, Jesus is using the Greek word agape for love. The highest kind of love that there is what He is talking about. This love is unconditional, never-ending, entirely for the benefit of the other person and shown through your words and actions. Oftentimes, the closest example we find of this love is that of a parent for their child. While it's relatively rare in human circles to find love of this kind, we certainly know what it looks like from what God says in His Word. It's all those commands that are given in His Word. Think of the Ten Commandments that Moses received on Mount Sinai, of God's timeless will summarized for all people and for all time. Or read the specific sections in Scripture where you get a little bit more in depth on something in particular, like Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where He clarifies and corrects misunderstandings that people had at that time. And if any of us need a reminder on what those things are, I encourage you after the service to talk with our confirmants, who had an entire unit just on the Ten Commandments in God's law, and probably know better than most of us what does this mean for each commandment? After the service, though, you can ask them those questions. God's love, though, is more than just an endless checklist of do this, don't do that, all the way down through every thought, word, and action. Rather, this love is one that knows no bounds, even willing to lay down one's own life for the benefit of the other. And it's Jesus who tells us what this love is, who sets the bar of what it means to love others as Jesus himself has loved us, who himself emulates it and shows it to us in every single way. You've heard the command from Jesus to love one another as he loves you. How does your love for one another stack up against that? Might you find yourself tripped up when the good intentions you have are not matched by the correct actions, even though it's done in the name of loving one another? The world says that we live in a morally ambiguous gray world where there is no objective right or wrong, just a bunch of culturally conditioned positives and negatives that if we all agree, we can change what is right and what is wrong, provided we're all on the same page. God's word tells us in many areas of life what is black and white, what is right and what is wrong. Have you ever found yourself tripped up, though, with the good intentions of loving one another, and the way you show that love is doing something that God says, not for a child of mine. That's not good. If so, we're not loving one another as Jesus loves us. Or consider your love to be to that agape style love, as unconditional, never ending, for the other's benefit, and knows no bounds with its words and actions. Might you be willing to love to a certain point? Maybe until that love makes you into an uncomfortable situation? As the three of you prepare to head off to high school next year, you're going to, just by law of averages, there's going to be at least one kid that everyone else dubs to be the weird one, that no one tries to talk to and no one tries to hang with, because if you associate with them, you're going to be also like that one weird kid. Will your love for one another bring you to them or stay away? How about that love for one another? Will it go until it becomes a nuisance or a frustration? Certainly, you know of classmates who, they don't do the homework that they should have. They get themselves into troubles because, well, it's their own fault. When they ask for help with the work or they ask you to pitch in, you know that's entirely because they brought it upon themselves. Will you be willing to love one another even when they brought it upon themselves? Or maybe you think of love and how likely to continue giving it to those who never return it in kind. We all have examples, people in our mind that those we love on, we give and we give and give over and over. And what do they do in return? Take, 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 and never give them back. How hard is it to keep loving someone when they never seem to appreciate it or even to repay you for it? This love for one another, to the standard of Jesus himself, none of us can claim to have done it. But that's why it's not love one another as I, Pastor Patoka, have loved you, or you, somebody to somebody else. Love one another as Jesus loves you. And to find that love that he has for you, look to that cross, what he did for you, and what is yours because of it. It was only because of his agape-style love for us that he went to the cross in the first place. A love that was in complete align with every command that God gave. Commands such as in John chapter 3 of how the Son of Man must be lifted up. Or Isaiah chapter 53, how the suffering servant must be crushed for our transgressions, pierced for our iniquities, and by his wounds we are healed. This love that Jesus has for us is not just for our benefit, but he will pay whatever the price is because it knows no bounds. even sacrificing his own life so that we could have forgiveness and peace and life and salvation, even for those who still reject him to this day and say, Lord, I want nothing to do with you. It's at that cross we see his love. In the reality of the resurrection, the one who rose from the dead, show us that he has conquered sin and death, that the blessings are ours through faith. That is all ours. And why does he do this? Because he loves you. He loves me. As simple as that, and as wonderful as that, that awesome love is the love we aspire to. And we love one another. As we look at that cross, not only do we see the standard to which we are to love one another, but also the means by which we want to do so. For the love of Christ then transforms our hearts. So we love one another as Jesus' friends. I want you to think, the three of you, the friends you have now, how did you become friends with them? Was it the first person you ran into at school and you just have just kind of stuck together ever since, and just by circumstances you're friends? Or maybe it's some of the fun things you like to enjoy, the drama, the music, the sports, and you have shared interests, shared commonalities, and you're friends with them because, well, you like hanging out with them. Maybe you have someone like a friend who is so close to you, you're like a kindred spirit, part of your family, even though they were born and raised in a different house. We all have different ways of defining what a friend is, but I like how one philosopher defined friendship. Defined it like this: as one spirit in two bodies. That kind of friendship is of the highest kind, the highest quality. A friend that you'd be willing to do whatever you could for them, such as to help them out when times get tough, or to make that run to the airport at 2 a.m. because, well, the flight got delayed and you got to get up early, but you need to be there for them. Or maybe even friends that you would invite to special events, such as your confirmation today, or your graduation come up in just, what, a few weeks from eighth grade. Why do you do these things? Why do we do these things? Well, it's because that's what friends do. Why wouldn't we? Contrary to all reason, Jesus, he calls us his own friends. It's not because there's anything in us that made it happen. No, he chose us out of his grace and his love and his mercy. Says, I want you to be mine, that you are my friend. And not only has he chosen us to have this close connection to him, but he also makes known to us everything God the Father wants us to know by revealing it and recording it in the Scriptures. These past 3 years, we have gone through, at a high level, the entirety of the whole Bible two times through. Imagine that. Do a lot of different things there, and, well, there's a lot to refresh or to gain understanding on. Those are the things that have been recorded for us from God himself, because of who? Jesus. Who wants you and all of us to know this in great detail. So it may find a home in our heart and in our head through the work of the Holy Spirit. It is because Jesus has chosen us to be his friends that our hearts are therefore transformed, where we want to do what his friends do. And what is that? Well, just as he told us, to keep the things that he has instructed us. Think of those commands that we talked about just a little bit ago. But there's a purpose behind all this. It's not just simply do, 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 and then, well, that's about it, or a bunch of random acts of kindness. No, but Jesus has also appointed you and me to bear fruit that will endure, to endure to eternity. What is this fruit that will last so long? Nothing other than pointing people to Jesus. You know what he did for them on the cross and the empty grave. So that we may believe in him, continue to live for him, and then to one day see him with our very own eyes. That's what friends of Jesus do. What kind of a friend are you, though? Are you the best friend who does everything that is wanted and required just because you simply want to do it? Are you the on and off friend who, well, sometimes does it, then other times, no, it depends on what's going on. Are you the friend in name only that is listed, but let's be honest, nothing in common? When you get confirmed, will you continue to listen to the Lord's instruction with eager and open ears? Or will they become deaf because you don't have to do sermon summaries anymore for homework? Will you continue to make time for God outside of the Sunday morning worship hour in Bible study or private devotion when you don't have to go to class because of the quizzes and tests that we take that are for a grade? Will you bear fruit that will endure for eternity? Or will you focus on the fruit that's for here today, gone tomorrow, and will only you get to enjoy it? Will you love one another as one of Jesus' friends who just thankfully and willingly does it? Or is it out of guilt, obligation, or trying to prove to yourself that, yes, I am a friend of Jesus, and here's why, Lord, because of all the things I do for you? If we were to look at our track record, there is no way we would call ourselves anything like a friend of our Lord above. But it's not what we think that matters. It's what he thinks. And what does he say? I've chosen you. You are mine. You are my friend. You have the full blessings what I have for you. Out of his grace, love, and mercy, he's chosen us to be his own. And he continues to work through this word to instruct us on everything that the Father has revealed for us to know. As that faith grows, we then see the Holy Spirit who's working through our work so that our fruit may be enduring until eternity itself. Because that's what Jesus does for his friends. Fellow redeemed and forgiven Christians like you and me and everyone else here. You've heard what Jesus has said. So let's love one another. Let's love one another as Jesus himself loves us, with an agape-style love that is unconditional, never-ending, for the other's benefit, and unbound in terms of its words and actions. A love that is not just well-intentioned, but follows the commands given to us in God's word. And if you want to see how great that love is, what he has done for you, look no further than the cross and the empty grave that follows. See the resurrection reality that you have a Savior, your sins are forgiven, you walk with him every day in heaven. Oh, it is now your home. Showered with this love of God. And see how your heart gets transformed so that you love one another as his friend, who thankfully and willingly does what friends do. Chosen by him because of how great he is, instructed by his word to know how to love him, and then to thankfully carry out that wonderful work, now that you're bearing fruit that will last and endure for eternity. For 3 years, we've had classes together. I've enjoyed each and every one of them. It's been fun going through the Bible, different ways and the stories and all the fun stuff with it. But if you had to summarize it all in one word, how would you? The word love covers many of those bases. As it tells us the most important thing, to believe in Jesus so we may fully know, understand, and receive the love he has for us, the love shown to us at the cross and the empty grave. With this belief, we then love one another as one of Jesus' friends, who thankfully and willingly does whatever we can for him, all done to the glory of our God above. As you three prepare to step into this next phase of your life as Christians, as a confirmed member of grace, one who has publicly expressed all that you know and believe and hold to be true, pray you may keep all those ideas, all that knowledge, summarized in one single idea, that of love. God's love for you and your love for one another, all done out of love for Christ and what he has done for us. Amen.